Expressions from St. Paul is 100% listener supported. We thank you for your faithful prayers and contributions. It's because of you that we get the opportunity to share the good news gospel of Jesus Christ with the world.
It's a number of people in church. It's committed to the church. Committed to whatever else in there. But they have not been born again.
All right, come on, Pastor, tell the truth.
There's a difference.
In today's lesson, Dr. Williams examines the difference between being a churchgoer and a scripture quoter to being truly born again. Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully for the past 47 years, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. New membership orientation begins at 8:45 a.m. Sunday school classes for all ages are offered at 9 a.m. And at 10 a.m., our morning worship service begins. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. Dr. Williams titles this message, "To Be a Member of the Kingdom, We Must Be Born Again." And if you have your Bible or your mobile device, let's go to the book of John, chapter 3, verses 1 down through 8. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to transition into the auditorium, and let's join morning worship service already in progress.
You got to know it for yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to talk about this morning, church. If you want to work in the kingdom, I don't mean just doing some stuff. If you want to work in the kingdom that benefits God, you're going to have to be born again. And then after you're born again, you waste too much time doing what you want to do. Friends, the Bible is our guidebook. Not some man, some woman, but the Bible. And church, it's a number of people in church. It's committed to the church. Committed to whatever else in there. Yes, sir. But they have not been born again.
All right, come on, Pastor, tell the truth. Tell the truth.
There's a difference.
There's a difference.
Hey, amen. Ma'am, I want to try to unravel this. If I don't, I'll finish the next time. This born again stuff is not what people tell you.
All right, man.
It's what the Bible says.
Amen.
Amen. Someone said to me that you've been invited to Stefan's installation. And they said, "You're going to have to go early to get a seat." I said, "Not me. I'm always on time. But if I run late with my driver, I have a relationship with the bishop. Not just that bishop, but this bishop. Whenever I get there, that would be a seat."
Oh, yeah. Yes. You're right about that.
Amen. And then the bishop's mother thought I was one of the nicest people in Sacramento. And she has reason to die, and she'll get up. You don't know that because you don't know the Bible. The Bible is our guidebook. I said this earlier, and I'm going to repeat this. We had two people that said, went around to our church campaigning, telling people, "Do not give God his tithes or his offerings." Before they died, before one of them died, one was on his way, they caught what I call biblically real trouble hell.
Right.
And then when you started building the church, oh, look like they're going to do something. I've been here 47 years. Amen. Johnny, stand up. Johnny Lewis here? Back well. He's the usher now? Brother Banfield, you stand up. Brother Cuba and Richard, you all stand up. How many times, you all work back there, how many times have I came in that finance room and tell you all to switch and give me a check for whatever? I don't steal, because his eyes
come on, Pastor.
Is on the sparrow.
Right.
And I know, when you read your Bible, why did God say in the first place, he says, you're robbing me. Mm-hmm. They said, well, how, God, we're not robbing. How are we robbing you? What did he use that word? But, see, God, because if you don't pay it, you are robbing him.
Right.
And you miss your blessings.
Right.
You can believe me if you want to. You don't have to believe me. You miss your, you say, but I'm doing okay. That's what you think. Why you want to do okay when you can do better? I'll give you a testimony about that later. There are times in the Gospel of John that we read that Nicodemus was the man who came to Jesus at night. Nicodemus. Now, church, why did Nicodemus visit Jesus at night? Why? Was it an indication of cowardice? Surely not. Was it that he was a primitive man and did not wish to be created, to create a stir by seeking an interview with the Lord? Possibly this is the answer, church. I'm talking about Nicodemus now. And we got some Nicodemus in here today. You need to take an interview with Jesus and see where are you?
Amen, Pastor.
Amen. Or could it have been that Nicodemus knew that Jesus was a very busy, that's what I call it, very busy person during the day and would be more likely to be free for an unhurried talk at night. When I was running from being called to a church, a trustee and two or three deacons came for me at my house, and they called one of the 6 o'clock on Saturday appointment, and I said, well, it says urgent. They didn't tell me what it was, because the other one, I wouldn't have gave it to them. So they got there, and they proposed to me. The church had wished to call me to become the pastor of that church. And I said, well, no, I'm not looking for no church. I can't. And so they gave me all kind of reasons. And then one of the deacons said to me, he says, what can we do for you privately for you to come? I don't cuss. I really don't cuss. But I know why some of you all cuss. Because that was cussing time. So I said, well, there's nothing you can do for me. I said, it's about 7:15. We need to have a word of prayer so you can go. And they went on and on and on, and they left my house 11:30. And I still didn't go. You see, let me try to put it the best I can. All offers are not blessings.
Amen. Say that again, Pastor. All right.
I've had a lot of good offers. And don't fool yourself. The old enemy on this side said, not bad, you ought to take it. But on this side, he said, nope, Nope. You can't go that route.
Right.
The next time when you read it for yourself. Friends, whether men and women come to Jesus by night or by day, privately or publicly, the important thing is that they come. Now some years ago now, there was a bishop in Florida, and he's a bishop, and he was over a lot of other people. And when the preacher got through preaching, they was doing a revival, this bishop was there and he came down. 300 or 400 people came down. And the evangelist said to me, why are you coming down? You're a bishop. He said, I've been preaching for 20 something years and pastoring, been a bishop X number of years. But I don't feel that I know Jesus personally. And when I die, I want to go to heaven. So I want you to help me tonight to make sure I'm saved.
Right.
See, a lot of Afro-Americans don't think I know, but I know this. A lot of Afro-Americans was law talking about God, praying about God. And God blessed them to have a home with upstairs to it. And a car that shines. And some jewelry on their hand and throat around their neck.
Amen.
Or a man with a watch and a bracelet on. He blessed them. They got a truck and a car. They got a BA and a TA and a MA and a MA from Sac State. They got all of that stuff. But at the end, if you are not born again, it won't do you no good.
Yeah.
It won't do you any good. No, sir. And no, ma'am. One of the papers here called recently and got an attitude because they wanted me to give them an interview. I'm not giving no interview about Trump. What would be my interview? What would it be? First of all, I have to be careful what I say about Trump. Because not from Trump, but from God. He said, pray for who? Pray for you. No, I won't use that one. He said, pray for the people who is in charge. So I can't be giving no interview because if I did, I might go to jail. So since I'm wise enough not to, so they said, well, why is it that you're so difficult to take interviews? And here's what I said, don't you say it, but here what I said, I don't owe you nothing. That's why I'm difficult. I don't owe you nothing. If I owed you something, I'd have to do it. I don't owe you nothing. So I will not be taking it. A lot of people in church, the reason they do so many bad things, they owe somebody something. Let me wake you up because you're sleeping, I can see. A few years ago, just before we left the old church, a lady broke down and cried and carried on. And I went down to see what was going on. And then we gave the benediction. She said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I had two children when I was young. And I gave them away. And I understand they are here this morning. And my husband is, that I'm married to, we have two children, and he does not know that I had two children. Well, let me try to say it spiritually. spiritually, when you have a baby and he goes through the full cycle 9 months, how can you hide a baby? Second, personally, I don't believe in abortions. I don't care what anybody, I don't believe in it. I don't participate with it, and I don't counsel about it. And there's a reason, biblically. So I said to her, I said, now don't run no more, you ran enough.
Right.
What you want to do is to tell your, go now and tell your husband and say, let's go for a meeting. And then you tell your husband, I have to meet them now. Because there's nothing you can do 25, 30 years ago. She said, he's not going to understand. I said, well, he can't do anything about it because they're grown.
Right. Amen.
Now, here's why I want to wake you up. I said, if he loves you, he's born again. He'll forgive you.
Amen. Amen.
If he's born again. I'm not talking this wishy-washy church going.
Right. Come on, Pastor.
If you are born again, you will forgive.
Amen.
With your wild self and forget. You'll think about it every now and then, but you'll forgive.
Right.
He's not going to listen. I said, well, then I'll go with you. Questioning him, he said, well, I love you and blah, blah, blah. And that's mouth talk. And I said, are you open to examine your future? He said, yes. Then I told him, now you talk to him. He just spoke something that he can't take back. And he told her, I already knew. So you hide us. You hide us. You hide. Let me throw it out there like it is. You hide us, hide us. Let's talk to the steps over here. You got a girlfriend and you married? Most of them people know it.
Right, yeah.
And the women said?
Amen.
And the men said?
Amen.
Just because a person doesn't tell you everything, it doesn't mean they don't know it. Amen.
Right.
I got all kinds of phone calls and letters when I told you all last year if I was going to really get married, I would find out something about the person's background.
Right.
You said, but you can't find that out. You don't know me, really. You really don't know me. Anything I want to find out, I can find it out.
Yeah.
I'm connected to the connector. I don't want to find out, but if I was, I would. And the reason I want to find out something about her, she may have killed her first husband. Just because she's dressed in white, and got a ring on her finger and got a watch on her arm, that doesn't mean she's been perfect all her life. If she can investigate me, you can too. That's Aubrey Holloway. When I came to this church, I said, if you all hear something about me, fine. But before you talk about it, investigate.
Right, right, right.
Because if you accuse me and I'm not guilty, I'm going to investigate you.
Right, right, right.
The only reason I know all of that is because I'm born again. And when you're born again, God will. See, that's why a lot of y'all don't like church. You can't wait till God reveal it to you. You got to see it. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of stuff I have, he revealed it to me.
Right.
Amen. There's Richard. I am not a carpenter. I'm not an electrician. I'm not near none of that. But Richard will tell you that when we have a carpenter work going on here, I know as much as the people that are doing the carbon. Is that right, Richard? They questions me. Well, I didn't know you was in that field. I'm not in it. But he reveals to me if they are right or crooked. There's Richard. I had him in my office in my next door. I said to him, you telling me what he can't do? I said, oh, no. I said, you can do better than that. I said, let me give you what you should do. When I got through giving it to him, what did he do, Richard? He backed down. That comes from being born again. Let's move on here. Thank God anyone who comes can be sure of a royal welcome. Church, Nicodemus soon found that Jesus was ready to receive him. So what kind of a man was Nicodemus? Let's look at his character. Church, very important. In the gospel, we are told are many different kinds of people who came to the Lord. For an example, the rich young ruler, friends, he came to Jesus. Luke 19, 1 through 10. The woman at the well came to Jesus. John 4, 5 through 30. What about Nicodemus, my friends? Nicodemus, it's easy to see from a careful reading of man's conversation that he was a sincere, my friends, influential. He was courteous, honest. He was intelligent. He was intellectual. He was influenced. He was a member, and this is how I know this, in your Bible, he was a member of the Jewish ruling council. And he was a Pharisee, verse 1. And these facts tells us that he was, my friend, that he was a very religious man. There's a difference in being religious and born again. Amen.
Right.
This man, he was a member of the Sanhedrin. My friends, he was Israel's teacher. The Sanhedrin court superseded the Supreme Court. You didn't get on there unless you really had earned your public training, college background. First he could go. Nicodemus had it all. I repeat to you, St. Paul, he had it all. We also know from the record that he was a moral man. That is, he lived a good and upright life. There is nothing on record against Nicodemus. This is the man who came to Jesus and who needed to be born again. Good people, listen, church, and you're in radio land and watch me on television, good people need to be born again, as well as bad people. Look at verse 3. Look at his curiosity. Perhaps the word should be concern rather than curiosity. But there is an element here that indicates in verse number 2 that Nicodemus was an inquiring man. I personally understand that. When I was growing up, we would be coming home from church. And I said, Mama, I don't understand, why is that? Sister so-and-so shout all over the church, and she's a hell raiser in the community. Why is that, Mama? I could understand why a deacon could sing a hymn which shakes the lights in the ceiling, but nobody could get along with it. I, I asked her, why is that? And this is, he's a simple word. She said, son, you will understand by and by. But she says, just because you, when you look out and see the trees and the leaves moving, you see them moving, but you don't know where it come from. You don't know where it come from. She said, just because somebody up shouting does not mean they are born again. Some people are shouting. And my dad is whispering. He said, well, some women shout on Sunday because they had a whooping on Saturday night. You all don't get whoopings in California. Well, I'll leave that alone. So, friend, think of it. This religious, moral man was spiritually dead and needed to be born again. How many people there are like that? Many of whom, all of it, my friends, are in churches. They are good, faring, but have never been born again. Listen careful. They are spiritually dead, according to Ephesians 2 and 1. They need to receive Christ and be born into the family of God. I maintained this when I was in seminary. One of my professors, he had problems. When I was in college, I had another one who had problems about me and God. Friends, when you are born again, let me give you an illustration here. When you are born again, listen carefully. When you are born again, then God has done for you what you can't do for yourself.
Right.
See, I told you all before, I'm a child of God. I'm in the family of God. You might not accept me in your family, that's you. But I'm in the family of God. In the family of God, he opens up. I have access to what I need because I'm a child of God.
Amen.
If he owned a cattle on a thousand hills, then he'll help me get a, I don't eat steaks, but he'll help me get one if I wanted one. You missed it. If he owned all the silver and the gold, don't get upset with me because I have a watch with a gold band around it. I don't have that, but if I did, don't get upset because he is my father. And if he's my father, I have access now since I've been born again. I keep telling older people, elderly people, quit worrying about what am I going to do? I'm getting old. If you're born again, quit talking about it to other folk. Talk to him.
Right.
Lord, I'm getting old. I don't have nobody to help me. I'm depending on you.
Yes,
and then depend on, don't talk about it. Man was going to talk to me about somebody recently. He said, I got something I want to tell you. You need to know this. I said, will it help me? He said, well, I don't know, but it's information. I said, well, if it won't help me, I don't need no information.
Amen.
I don't need you to gossip to me about nobody. He took it personal. Nicodemus had it all, but he didn't have Jesus. Friend, this concern is produced by the conviction or convincing work of the Holy Spirit. And you, all of you in this church, all of you in this church, so listen careful if I don't ever speak again. You quit denying the working and the power of the Holy Spirit. You stop that. You being a Baptist, you don't have no power over the Holy Spirit. And people say, well, you know, but he's a Baptist. I am a, well, he don't know what I am. I know I'm born again. And when you're born again, where's my water? When you're born again, it's like you see this water, but when I drink it, you can't see what it does for me. You can't see what, when it goes inside of me, you don't know what happens to it. That's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. If you learn to keep your mouth closed and quit running down people, the Holy Spirit has power to work. If you're born again. Amen. I wish I had time to give you some testimony, but I don't have time for that today. Compare Acts 2, 36 through 41, where we have an illustration of this very thing. It's only when we know and feel we are lost that we seek the way of salvation. Church, when Jesus spoke about the new birth, Nicodemus was puzzled. So he answered Jesus by saying, look, verse number 4. It's interesting that he wasn't afraid to admit his ignorance with all of his smartness. This is what he said. He didn't pretend to know all the answers. He was open in his conversation with the Lord Jesus. But notice that all he said and the questions he asked indicates that he was not only spiritually dead, but he was blind, my friends, to the fact that he had to be born again. He had it all, but he was spiritually dead. Amen. He had no connection with the living Christ. But doing well. Top positions. Working for the top officials in Jerusalem. But spiritually dead. Amen. Amen. You say, why are you dealing with being born again? Because a lot of folks need to be born again.
Amen.
I'm only dealing with reality. I was minding my own business when it was given to me, so now my business is to put it out. See, my job is to put the food on the table, and it's your job to eat it, and if you don't, that's your problem. I've discharged my duty. You missed it. I used to take newspapers, and the boy would come by in my house. He didn't ring no bell. He just, he would throw the paper. And it's my responsibility, if I want to read the news, is to get the paper. So it's your responsibility is to read, if you want to know what it's about, read the book.
Amen. Amen.
All what I'm telling you this morning is in the book. And the reason a lot of people in church have so many problems in church, it's not the church, it's you.
Right.
You don't read the book.
Come on, Pastor.
How in the world can I get saved by a holy, almighty, all-powerful God? Yes. He saves me, and I sit in church and criticize everything go on. I'm lying to myself. It's more doctrinal than anything else, the sermon is. But friends, so glad that I'm born again.
Amen.
Listen carefully. I'm dealing with John, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 8. I repeat, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. And friends, you don't need to come by night. You need to come this morning by day.
Right.
So that you can receive the living Christ. I don't have much, but I got Jesus. And since I have him, I draw on him. When my wife was pregnant, well, our first child, and we ran into some hard cliffs with money. Doctor bills was expensive. Going to the hospital was expensive. Friends, here I am saying, what am I going to do? I had known for years how to pray. So I didn't run around crying and what am I going to do? Poor Lord, look what happened to us. We're young. What are we going to do? I didn't do that. I got on my knees. And laid out the plan to God. Then I got up and thanked him for answering my prayers, and it hadn't been answered.
Right.
I went to work. My wife was pregnant. She had a child after that. I went to work. I got a call, says, tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, we have a delivery for you. So will somebody be there to let us in? I said, where's it coming from? They told me. I said, well, Lord, I'll be there. 8 o'clock, they rang the bell and knocked on the door. A truck backed up, Al. A truck. The man said, we got some baby clothes for the baby. Now, and that was fine. We have a bed. Where you want us to put the bed? But we have to put the bed together before we leave. So I said, go in the bedroom and put it against the wall when you first turn to the right. They put it up. All the mattress. Stuff to go on. This is for the baby. Then they got boxes. Filled the kitchen back. And the living room, you couldn't walk in it. The back bedroom, boxes everywhere. I said, well, I think you have the wrong people. He said, no. It goes to Ethan Williams' house for Ethan Williams' wife and baby. We had stuff. My wife picked out two outfits out of each one, and we gave the rest away. Listen careful. 4 o'clock in the afternoon, someone else came, brought another baby bed. I've been praying now for days. Then the mailman came. Hey, come here, Jesus. Hey. Mailman came. And he said, I have he had a letter and I had to sign for it. And I saw it says here, register letter. They delivered it. And usually you had to go and pick it up. So it was kind of thick, and so I couldn't wait till he leave. So when he left, the letter had a check in it, cashier's check.
Come on.
And then behind the check, it had a personal check. So the cashier's check was $3,000, and the personal check was $1,500. And you telling me that being born again? No. And I called my pastor, told him we had to send somebody to help my wife, so we had to get rid of some of this stuff. We got, somebody said, why don't you sell it? You can't sell what was given to you. It was given to us, we gave it away. And then my wife was off work 3 months after the baby was born. Her job said to her, you've been such a good worker, and you've been kind, you work with anybody, all races. Said, we're going to pay you for the 3 months. And we were living in a time when racial situation was high. Are you listening? That's where you are when you're born again. Amen. Cuba might not like me, but if God wants Cuba to help me, he can't do nothing but help me.
Right.
God will make him so confused, he said, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm doing it. Unless you don't know the Bible. He'll do it for you. Then I go to work, and the man said, you take off 2 weeks, so you're going to be there to help your family. 2 weeks off with pay. Vacation time come, with pay. All that has to do with being born again.
Yeah.
Amen. I don't have no problem telling the church. Tell when the church I was in, this, I wouldn't be telling people all what I didn't have. I said, well, thank you very much. I got to move, and I move quick when you don't want to talk about God. Because he is the source of our strength.
Yes.
He is the deliverer of our need.
Yes.
But you can't fool around and then when you need him, call him. You call him when you are doing well.
Right.
You thank him when you got up and doing well. You thank him when you got a few dollars in your pocket. You thank him when your car is running. You thank him when you got your degree. You thank him when you got your job. You thank him when you got your husband, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your children. You thank him for letting you live.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Amen.
If you want to work on earth in the kingdom and enjoy it, you must be born again.
Amen.
Sometimes I almost cry when I hear folks say, I don't want to be bothered with those church folk. If you're born again, you're one of them. God might have given you something to help them, and you won't do it.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Church, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born again now he's old? Now that'll tell you he was ignorant about the new birth. How can he go back into his mother's womb? Listen to questions he's asked. And he missed, and Jesus gave him something else. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse number 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. The nurse said to me when they called me and said that my late wife had passed and I got to the hospital, she said, Mr. William, we know how faithful you are. We did everything that we could do. I said, oh, she's fine. She looked at me strange. I said, she's fine. That's all I said. If she just said, well, she's dead, I said, no, she's not dead. It's the body dead. See, we came from dirt. And dirt we are going back to. But the living spirit in us is going in the presence of Almighty God. Hey, If you don't know that, it's because you don't read your Bible.
Amen.
Where is the organist? Would you come here, sir? I don't only want you to answer the question. No, right here. That's fair enough. I'm crying. See, he's big, and I had to watch that. Now, the last song you got that was new, and you had to practice it, how many times did you have to practice it before you got it? You had to practice the song a lot. And then after you got it down, you felt comfortable. Oh, he practiced and he rehearsed it. Are you all listening? I'm going somewhere with that. I'm just asking them to tell me that. I know that. I took music 3.5 years. Thank you very much. You see, when you're born again, listen carefully. When you're born again, then God is obligated to reveal to you what you don't know and you've been praying to him. You say, well, gee, I don't know what happened. That came to me. And some of you got the nerve to say, if my first mind, if you had two, you got problem now and you're going to have two minds? He reveals it to you. There's a man that used to be in this church. He really hated me because he said I preached up with the Bible too much. He died. Anybody in the public don't believe they have haters is crazy. I need you to stand right here. Stand here. I want to give you another about haters. Stand here. They might hate me. Do everything in their power to try to block me. Go behind my back and try to destroy me. They might do that. Stand up, person. These are the haters. I can't be with them all the time. Stand here, person. Person, reach out. Now here comes Jesus to move me from the haters.
Right.
And the haters are still back there talking. I'm going on with Jesus. Every day with Jesus. Sweeter than the day before. Every day. You got to know who you are and who's with you.
Yeah. Amen.
That's what he'll do for you. Amen. Church, I will not be able to finish it, but I'll finish it later. Listen carefully here this morning. Very careful. We're talking about being part of the earthly kingdom and then go to be with God in the everlasting kingdom. Amen. Verse number 8 in chapter 3 of John. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. Listen, church, but cannot tell whence it comes. You hear the sound, sure. And whether it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. Perhaps the greatest privilege that any human being has ever had offered to them since Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. It is that of everlasting life. Amen. Adam did it wrong. Adam did it wrong. And Jesus did it right. Amen. That's why I said, I don't care what you've done in life. Are you willing to surrender? He will forgive you.
Amen.
He will forgive you. But you have to surrender. Amen. I have a hard time with people talking about God but doing nothing for God. How can I serve God better than I am? Yes, stand up, Charles. Here's how you serve God better than what you are. You be nice to him. You share and fellowship to him. You can't make him do that to you. But you do it because you are the one that's born again and saved. You demonstrate to God, I know how he is, but I'm with you. And Charles, when he end up, sit down, Charles. Charles, when he end up, if he don't sit down, he'll be knocked down. God is not going to allow him to get in your way.
Right.
And he's working through you. He's not going to let that happen. Everywhere I go, people bother me. I guess it's bother. I don't know what it is. It could be through respect. But I respect everything and everybody. When I'm at my house, if a dog is coming and I don't know him, I get something. Because I don't know if he's going to attack me or not. And before you laugh at the dog, people are the same way. And I see some people coming, I get something. You don't want to tell the truth, but I'll tell you the truth. And then I'll have to close on this when my late wife got her business. her own business that she always wanted. I said to her, I said, now Sue, what you want to do, I'm going to get some place for you to go and take some training. You need to learn how to shoot a pistol. Mm-hmm. She said, I don't need it. And I said, no, you don't, but I do. I don't want nothing to happen to you. So she said, well, two guns are too big to carry. I said, when yours won't come, I'll get you a 22 so you can put it in your hand. You said, but you mean you're going to tell her to do that? I didn't want to tell her that. I was going to show her how to do it. Because if she was attacked, I would be attacked. All born again people are connected to each other. And if you're born again and you want to shut up in your little house with your cute self, you are denying the power of the Holy Spirit.
Right, right, right.
When I close, I want you to listen. I want you to listen. I said, I want you to listen. That's what's wrong with us today. What is wrong? We don't listen. You read the guidebook, but you don't listen. Amen. Now look who you have. God is. He's omnipresent. Friends, all presence. He is always present, capable of being everywhere at the same time. His divine presence, my friends, encompasses the whole universe.
Yes.
God. He is also omniscient. God is, and quit talking about, we don't know, God knows all. Did you hear what happened to Facebook and all these books? You writing your life on it?
Right.
You're destroying your life by telling the world all about you. And don't tell the world where you work or they'll break in your house. Just thank God for what he has for you. Somebody said, Pastor, you know you can get a nice lady friend offline. I said, I got one already. That back room bedroom where I can go to bed and go to sleep and have peace.
Right.
He's omniscient. God is all-knowing, all-wise, all-seeing. God knows everything there is to be known. He has total knowledge, my friends, seen and unseen. And then if you didn't get it, he's omnipresent and omniscient. He is omnipotent, which God, and this is what I love. God has all power over all things, at all times and in all ways. All power. God has all power. He's all knowing, friends, and he is all powerful. He will give you a peace which is too wonderful to understand. And the peace of God, which, my friends, transcends all understanding. You don't know him? Accept him today. And watch what he'll do for you. He is available. If you have never been born again, I heard you this morning. You said, but I've been in church, Pastor. I don't mean a thing if you haven't been born again. Because if you die tonight, you will not see or be in the presence of God. There's no way. You say, but I think I'm going to heaven. I think I'm going to heaven. I believe I'm going. That's not good enough. You have to know you're going. If you don't, you won't see Jesus. No way. But I don't know where I'm going or not. I'm ashamed. When you die or when it's time for you to face Jesus, listen to me carefully. None of these folks that you're ashamed of is going to be there to help you. None of them. But if you want to see Jesus, accept him this morning. Reverend White, go down that aisle all the way in the back. Preston, go down to my right. We don't want you to have no excuse. We're sending somebody down the aisle to come with you. We'll take you in the back room and give you some counseling how you can be born again. Amen. I just want to see you connected with Jesus. You'll be amazed whatever happened to you. You said, but I'm doing all right. It is nowhere in the book talking about doing all right. It said knowing him. And he'll help you to do all right. Amen. Amen. Church, if you're here, will you stand? Will you come? 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 God bless you. God bless you. Go with that girl. Will you come? Will you come? God bless you. Go with him. Go with that. You know.
We offer Christ to you, oh my sisters.
Where you come?
He will give you breath.
Where you come today?
New life.
If you want to see Jesus for yourself, will you make sure you know him? Will you come?
Come on.
Will you come?
To Christ.
He's speaking to you. Will you come? Will you come?
We offer Christ to you.
Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? Will you say yes to him? Will you say yes to him? Will you say yes to him?
To Christ.
Amen.